Hello, everyone, and welcome to the LFC Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast where we break everything down from the feeds, from double vetoes to lovers' quarrels. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is the always amusing Alex Kidwell. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I don't know if always is accurate. Now you've kind of like set up billing that I probably can never live up to, but I appreciate that.
I like to set high expectations, Alex.
Yeah, I'm all about low expectations because then I don't have to like vault them. I can just like daintily step over them.
Daintily step over. Daintily is going to be part of your next introduction. Congratulations.
Great.
We've also got the boldly boisterous Brent Walgemon. How you doing, Brent?
Man, you're all into the alliteration, aren't you?
Oh, I really
have to say. I'm going to write down daintily for a hashtag right now. Daintily stepping, daintily Alex. That's all good with me. Happy to be here. Happy to talk about the live feeds. We got some stuff to talk about.
We really do. We're here live on this Sunday afternoon, and we will be here live every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern to argue about what's been happening on the feeds. We've got the chat room open at robisawebsite.com, and you can send in questions to me at ArmstrongTaryn on Twitter if you want to get your questions read on the show. Let's talk about what's been happening. Dimitri has won his third HOH. We've got Kevin and Bruno up on the block together. William has not one, but two vetoes, and he can use them as he pleases. And amidst everything, Dre, of all people, seems to be the blizzard snowing everybody in the house. This is insanity to me. what do you feel about this, Alex?
It has been kind of crazy. Like it's been, I think feeds the last few days have actually been really good. Like I've seen people talk about it being a boring week, and it might be ultimately in terms of the outcome. Like we'll see, but from a feeds perspective, the last few days have been really entertaining. It's a lot of just back and forth and a lot of uncertainty still. I mean, about exactly how this is going to play out. Cause I mean, now we know, like, you know, this is a spoiler show. We know William is sitting there holding two vetoes, people. It's just, the freshman reigns supreme right now. I know he's not French.
Have you been enjoying the feeds this week, Brent?
I have been, because I still don't know if we are going to lose Kevin or Bruno or somebody else. I mean, there are a couple of other possibilities up for eviction that, it just depends on where Ika and Dimitris ultimately come down. And it also depends on if William forces their hand. And then there's another little wrinkle about, does William want to use the second veto? And if he does he want to use it knowing that the house will probably know, as you pointed out on Twitter, Taryn, that it was him anyway? So I don't know. There's a lot of different things to take into consideration here. The thing about doing a show from now until last Thursday is that we haven't really heard from William how he feels about this veto. You know, we knew one thing about the veto was the interesting thing about this veto was it was a secret veto, so you could use it and nobody would know that you used it. On the other hand, it didn't keep you safe necessarily. So William could have seemingly put up or vetoed Kevin off the block and then been put up as a replacement nominee himself because the house wouldn't know who has the secret veto. But now that he has the regular veto, he is protected from that. So he can literally do whatever he wants here.
Yeah, basically before this veto was won by William, the regular veto, the rules came out that you're right. In fact, this secret veto is not something that can keep you safe from the block. If you use it, you are vulnerable to be put up on the block. And so that kind of took the wind out of the sails for a lot of people who were hoping that he would use that veto. However, having won the regular veto, he is free to do whatever he wants with either the secret veto, the regular veto, or both.
It doesn't matter. I saw some people on Twitter saying, well, you know, if he doesn't use the regular veto, then the secret veto, you know, he should be able to be put up as a renom. And I'm like, you guys are nuts. Never in the history of RuPaul's Drag Race. I just came from a RuPaul's Drag Race podcast. Never in the history of Big Brother has the winner of the veto been eligible for a replacement nomination, even in the big coup d'etat week in Big Brother where Shima was overthrown. The winner of the veto was not eligible to be put up. So I don't understand what people are talking about. Obviously, William is immune here. He cannot be put up, even if he vetoes somebody off the block with the secret veto. It wasn't true until he won this veto, but now that he has it, miracle of miracles. Like, could, you know, somebody asked me on Twitter, who do you want to win the veto? I said, anybody but William. Of course, bitch wins the veto.
Hey, as his friend back home said, it's time to make it cheers to William, eh? Make sure. Cheers. Sure. I can't get over that. I love that so much. It's amazing.
Well, this brings up a lot of interesting scenarios, because William has a lot of different choices that he can make. He can not use any veto. He can use one veto to save Kevin. And if he does that, he has the choice of whether he uses the actual veto or the secret veto. Or again, he can use both vetoes to veto either both Kevin and Bruno off the block, or veto Kevin and potentially his replacement nominee off the block. So I think there's a lot to dig into in terms of what should William do with these two vetoes. Alex, what are you thinking in terms of, if you're William in this position, what are you going to do with these two vetoes? You have so many options.
Yeah, this is like probably, this is really, really hard for me to assess, because I can, you know, this is one of those situations where I know I'm super biased about what he does. Not only would I like to see Bruno and Kevin stay, you know, like, I feel like if one of them goes this week, it's going to be hard for any of the veterans to win. And I don't like a lot of these new players. Like, I'm sorry, just kind of being honest. And, you know, to be honest, like, it would be really great TV. This week could be so boring. Or it could be amazing if William is like just throwing out vetoes like hotcakes. So it's pretty hard for me to sit here and say anything other than use both vetoes on Kevin and Bruno as the play, because like that's the only play like I want in my head. Like that's pretty all encompassing. But at the same time, I don't think it's necessarily a terrible play, because if he, and again, he doesn't realize it, but Ike and Dimitri's already kind of souring on him a bit. Like, they're still pretty tight with Dre, but they're already willing to turn on William, put him up soon. They're worried about the fact they keep tossing out the names William and Karen as people that, you know, if they were ever on the block next to us, you know they would stay, because they're so non-threatening and nobody's, like, coming after them. So William, if he knew the position he was really in the house, I think he would go ahead and make a big move here. I just don't know that he recognizes it, A, and B, is willing to like dive headfirst into the water like that.
Well, I'm not as biased as you are, and I still think that his best move is to use the veto on Kevin. Now, whether or not he ultimately vetoes Bruno off the block is another story. But I mean, Kevin is, for all intents and purposes, his number one or his number 1A at this point. It's at least his second most important person in the house, if not his most important person in the house, somebody who's always going to go home before him, and somebody who I think really likes William. So, you know, I don't care what Ike and Dimitri are saying about, you know, well, you know, let's not use the veto on him, but we'll ultimately keep Kevin anyway. Shit can change. I mean, you never know with these crazy people in the house. I mean, take your boy off the block. I think my friend Stina Nitz on Twitter keeps calling him his sweet babu. Like, for sure, William's going to save his sweet babu. Just be ready for it. The only question to me at this point, because I think he is going to save Kevin. I don't care what he says. I think he's going to save Kevin, and I just don't know if he's going to really cause havoc by also saving Bruno.
Yeah, basically, the way I see it is, you know, a lot of people are thinking, well, he'll still probably save Kevin, but maybe he'll only do it with the secret veto so that he can, you know, he can make the play to, I'm not using the veto, and then, oh, whoops, Kevin's safe anyway. I think that's a mistake. I think that using the secret veto on Kevin is almost worse than using the regular veto on Kevin, because everybody is going to know that this was William's doing, right? Like, not only did Karen catch him coming out of the tunnel, but he is the only person that would use the veto on Kevin other than Kevin. So it's going to be either William or Kevin that has it. And then with Karen saying, yeah, I saw him come out of a tunnel, they're going to be like, ah, yeah, probably William then. So he might as well just be upfront about it and not try to pull one over on the house guests.
And he William. Gains credibility.
What are you doing in the wall, William?
Right. And then at that point, if he's using the veto on Kevin, I actually do think that he also should be vetoing Bruno, because it's going to piss Ike off. It's going to piss Dimitri off. It's going to piss the rest of the house off. Ike earlier today was talking about, man, if William uses that veto, he is on my hit list. He is going to go ahead of Kevin for me. I'm going straight after William.
So why should William use it then?
I'm saying if he uses it on Kevin, he should also use it on Bruno.
Okay.
He shouldn't do one and not the other, because if he uses it on Kevin, Ike is coming after him. The rest of the people are coming after him. Dre doesn't trust him as much anymore. I mean, he's already in this position, whether or not he uses the veto, to be honest.
Yeah.
Once he takes Bruno off the block as well, that's a huge pair of targets in front of him still, that nobody's going to take William out instead of Kevin and Bruno, knowing that Kevin and Bruno are both still in the house. So I really think that keeping them in the game is in the best interest of him. And then also, the person that's going to be leaving the house, if the two of them come off the block, is either Karen or Jackie, who is that. Those people are great for him to leave, because those are other people that are taking up his spot as somebody that are that's less threatening, that's not in one of these big targeted pairs, and that's going to, you know, be targeting him in the future.
I do agree. I agree. I just think, you know, ultimately the problem is like that is such a big like dive head first in the deep end kind of a move. And William, to this point, has demonstrated himself to be a very much like dip my toes into the water and test the temperature type of player. So that that's the discrepancy here. Like that probably is like probably now is the time for him to move, because, yeah, like you said, we're really seeing the house turn on him. I mean, some people are, you know, and then the other part of it is there's, you know, a growing faction that wants to use this opportunity to pit Ike and Dimitri's against Bruno and Kevin and just kind of ride out the middle, like the Karens and Dylans and people. I mean, to the point that they almost didn't nominate Bruno and Kevin. Like it was really kind of down to the wire, it seemed like, where, you know, they decided ultimately Bruno and Kevin, but then even like 5 minutes after nominations, they went back to the conversation, were kind of regretting the decision. So yeah, I mean, very much like Ike and Dimitri's are torn between like, well, we made the move, we have to stand by it, versus, you know, doing this, is this like screwing us? And I think in a lot of ways it is, because Dre, like you mentioned at the start of the show, is finding ways to just, yeah, I mean, convince everyone she's on their side. I mean, she did a really good job, I think, of, and it wasn't even game related, but she like, you know, mentioned something to Ika about like how Dimitri was feeling a kind of way about the relationship and like helped them like, you know, reconcile a thing. And then like during that, Dimitri said something about like Dre is like the most trustworthy person in the game. Like that really like went a long way for her, I think, in just, and like in the game specifically, she's not like, she's actively working to undermine and take a shot at them as soon as now. But outside of the game, she did that thing. So that resonates.
Right. I wanted to I want to talk about the initial nominations and whether or not that was the correct move for Ika and Dimitris. But I also want to address you guys' point about that he should veto. If he vetoes Kevin, he should also veto Bruno. I disagree. This is what I think should happen. I think he should veto Kevin off the block with the regular veto. I think he should leave the secret veto untouched and not use it at all. Leave Bruno on the block and hopefully Bruno goes home. This is the reason why. I don't care what Ika's saying right now. Ika's combustible. She changes her mind all the time. She might be saying, William is going to be my number one target if he takes Kevin off the block. I don't really believe that. I really don't believe that, because I think that William will be able to play it off like, look, you know, he's, I just kind of like Kevin. He's my sweet babu. And, you know, he's a really sweet guy. And I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was doing. Like, it was just, you know, I really like him. Like, I mean, I think he can come at it from a very non-gamer standpoint. And I also think it's in Kevin, in William's best interest for Bruno to go home, because as long as Bruno's in the house, Kevin is wedded to Bruno, not to William. If Bruno goes home, now Kevin is decidedly in William's camp, and William also has Dre, although obviously their relationship has been a little bit rocky lately. So I still feel like getting Bruno out of the house, I mean, Bruno's somebody that William doesn't have a relationship with at all, and I feel like there's no real reason for him to keep him in the house other than as yet another target. But you've got plenty of targets in the house at this point. I don't think you need any more.
My favorite move of William's that he makes by far is when he just like blames his English. Like I did not know. It was so confusing. I do not understand the language. Like, it's awesome, man. If I had that move in my deck of cards, if I was able to do that somehow, which obviously I'm not, I would play it every single day, man. That's amazing.
I see. The problem with having Bruno out of the game for me is that then Kevin and William are now a pair. William is 100% going up on the block next to Kevin when people go after Kevin. So when the time comes, which is probably next week, if somebody like Dylan, Karen, Jackie, any of them win, they're putting up William and Kevin. If Kevin wins the power of veto, William's going home. Even if Kevin doesn't win the power of veto, they still might send William home. I really think that's a possibility. And keeping Bruno and Kevin in the game still pins them against Ika and Dimitri, who still feel like they need to take at least one of them out, while the rest of the house still thinks that they're the biggest targets. They're not focused on William at the moment. Whereas when William makes this move to take Kevin off the block, they feel like, at the very least, that Kevin has William in his pocket, and that William is somebody that would be good to get out if they need to strike at Kevin. And that also hurts his end game, I think, where if they're just like constantly like, William was just, you know, Kevin's sweet babu, but whatever it was, you know, if that's his image at the end of the game, then I don't see how, you know, he wins unless he's sitting next to maybe like Karen or Dylan. Whereas if he makes a big move and takes off Bruno, that's something that's impressive. That's something that he can really point to as like, I am a player in this game and I made a move. And it reminds me a lot of the situation that Bruno was in during the triple eviction when he uses the POV on Zach, knowing not that even though his relationship with Zach is pretty rocky, Zach is a target in front of him. And if he makes this move to keep Bruno in the house this time, Bruno is the target in front of him. I think that's really the best move he can make here, especially given his rocky position in the house at the moment.
Yeah, he kept Zach in the game as a target in front of him. And who ultimately went home first? Oh, wait for it. Bruno went home first. Okay, so it doesn't always work keeping targets in the house. Again, there's only going to be 8 people left in the game at this point after this week. We're going to have 3 people in jury already. I think it's really dicey to leave Aika and Dimitris and Bruno and Kevin in the game. I just feel like that's a lot of targets to get out in not a whole lot of time. But I mean, I take your point. I don't think either one of us are necessarily wrong. I just feel like that there's 2 different ways you can go about this. It just depends on ultimately what happens on down the line. Obviously, he could make the move that I'm advocating and still get lucky by, you know, making it to the end of the game. And he could also make the move that you guys make. The funny part is that I'm arguing for the more cautious move at this point. Mm-hmm. You guys are arguing for the more balls to the wall move. And I feel like that would normally be the play that I like, but I just don't like it in this instance. And I don't know why.
Well,
but
and here's the thing, too. Like, I would prefer William not use the veto at all than use it on Kevin alone. Because and honestly, I think he's at the point where he's basically told Dre, I really, really want to use it. I don't care what you have to say. And that's what's pissed people off. And
yeah,
now
even if
he doesn't use it, that idea is still in their head. And I think he's gone past the point of not using it at all. But I'd still prefer not using it at all, because then he's still able to sit back and say, I'm with Dre. I'm not with Kevin. I'm with Dre. And Dre is not a target. Dre is the person who's in the best spot at the moment. And
Dre's
if Dre is protecting him, if he's connected to Dre, then he's in a great spot moving forward. But if he does use the veto, that's putting him in a bad spot. And I think he needs to protect himself from other angles, meaning Bruno, if he does put himself in that spot. But I do think we should set up the rest of the week, how we got here, because there's a lot of crazy stuff that's been happening. As Alex mentioned, these nominations were not a given, even though we would have assumed that they were a given coming into this week. You know, Dimitri wins HOH, you assume automatically Kevin and Bruno are up on the block. They've been talking about it for ages. But Kevin and Bruno put a lot of work in to try and make sure that this didn't happen. Alex, can you tell us about this?
Yeah, I mean, really effective pitches. I mean, they thought about, you know, how they had to approach this. They like formulated a plan and then attacked. They didn't do the Jackie thing where she just like bounces in and says something and then like comes back 5 minutes later. Oh, I thought about something else to say. Like, that's not how you campaign. The way you campaign for your life in this game is you organize, formulate, and then, you know, execute. And that's what they really went about doing. I mean, it was a very sensible, logical pitch. I mean, one that even, you know, even if you think they're totally lying, which I don't know that they necessarily were, I think you'd have to, you know, at least open your ears and listen to what they had to say, because they're not wrong from a pure numerical standpoint, in the sense that Aika, Dimitris, Bruno, and Kevin are like the clear kind of big players in the house at this point. Those are the people that really have dominated the game for the most part to this point. I mean, Dimitris has won so many competitions. Bruno, Kevin, and Aika were really, you know, having a hand in deciding who went home every week. I mean, Dimitris obviously was there as well. And if Dimitris and Aika do take a shot and do take out Bruno and Kevin this week, which ultimately it looks like is going to happen, I mean, it does create a scenario where you've got these 5 new players in the middle who, even though this never really was a season of like newbies versus vets per se, there does come a point where you just kind of look around. And I mean, it just becomes only common sense to want to take the Karens and the Dylans over the Aikas and the Brunos. I mean, there's just no rhyme or reason to getting around that. You know, that's just kind of what it is. If people play this game for enough weeks, they begin to understand like what the obvious move is at the very least. And that's kind of where we're at now. Like, even people that weren't good players at the beginning, now at least, you know, well, I should say that, but Jackie is all over the place. But anyways, yeah, I mean, the fact is that there's 5 new players in the middle that are ready to come together. I mean, Dre is having conversations with Jackie. Like, they're all willing to work together to the point where they take out these bigger targets first.
So let me ask you, Taryn, I wanted to ask you, so let's go back to right before the nominations. Kevin and Bruno make a pretty effective pitch, basically saying, look, if you take us out, you're going to be next on the block. All these 5 people sitting in the middle are the people that are going to run the game, and they're going to come after you regardless of what they're telling you. A couple of things. Well, I want to ask you this. I want to talk about why they didn't expose Dre and her willingness to vote out Dimitri and plotting against him. They sort of went halfway. They exposed the deal that they made, but they didn't expose the fact that, and they exposed the fact that Dre was in on the deal. And Aika knows that Dre didn't tell her about the deal, but they didn't expose the fact that she was really hot to get Dimitri's out. So that's something I want to talk about, but I want to know from you, do you think, and set your bias aside if you can, and you're good at that, do you think that Aika and Dimitri should have taken them up on this deal? Because I kind of feel like they should have. Like, it was very, but I know, go ahead and answer the question, then I'll say more. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was tweeting about it because it is an interesting dilemma because, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, Aika was saying, I feel like if we don't take a shot at Kevin and Bruno right now, they're going to win the game. And I was like, that's probably right. If Kevin and Bruno survive this week, they're in a great spot moving forward. But I also think that Aika and Dimitri are in a better spot moving forward as well. I feel like it is the kind of situation where you kind of just have to put your personal ideas about who this person is and what happened in the past aside and say, look, we as the big targets, the big players are outnumbered right now. And if either of us want any chance of winning moving forward, we need to work together. And I think that's probably true. And I think they probably should have taken the deal. I think probably what they could have done was put one of them up on the block and then maybe like a pawn or something like that, and then see how things go. Because basically what's happening is they trust Dre way too much. Dre has them mm-hmm. completely snowed,
right.
And Dre is going around and she is telling all of the other five new players, we're gonna target these vets. As soon as Kevin and Bruno are gone, we're going after Aika and Dimitri, and then it's us five to the end. And that's exactly what Dre wants, because why wouldn't she? The rest of the players are much less competent at the game, much worse at competitions. And it's very easy to see that setup. And the thing that Aika and Dimitri are not seeing is that Dre sees it and is willing to take it. They think that she's completely loyal.
Right.
And it's not true. And because of that lack of information, I think that's why they're making the mistake, but I do think it's a mistake.
There was a couple times this weekend where Aika kind of sniffed around Dre's dishonesty. Like, they were close a couple moments to really like, and Dimitri's not at all. Dimitri's full on loyal to Dre. Dre has our best intentions. Like, he couldn't say enough good things about Dre. But Aika, I mean, she has a good read on people. She was like skeptical of a few things that didn't add up in terms of like what Kevin was saying William said versus what Dre was saying Kevin said to William. So Aika was like dancing around the fact that Dre is being dishonest to them, but ultimately just kind of like got off of that, I think. And now they're back to believing her a lot.
There's so many things I want to talk about. So I want to talk about the relationship between Dre and Aika, but I wanted to say first about the nominations that I agree with you, Taryn. I feel like that they should have taken Kevin and Bruno up on this offer, but I feel like that if I were them, I would have felt very Frank and Jen versus Dan and Danielle BB14-esque here, because you make a deal with the power players in the game. Sounds really good. You're like, let's work together. And I realized that was a later point in the game. I get that. On the other hand, I feel like that they don't want to be embarrassed by it. Like, they're okay being embarrassed by these people in the middle, but they really don't want to be had by Kevin and Bruno when they have them in their sights. You know, you finally are able to nominate them and get one of them out of the house, and you take your foot off the gas. Even Aika said to Kevin and Bruno, like, you know, I think Aika was probably more willing to, you know, give them some slack, but she didn't want to talk Dimitri into something that he probably didn't really go along with initially, only for him to be, you know, targeted next week if they won HOH. So I do feel like they should have made the move, but I can tell where they probably didn't want to make it because they don't want to look like a fool on national television.
Yeah, I think the Frank Dan comparison is an apt one, actually, because the pitch that Dan makes to Frank in Big Brother 14 makes complete sense. And Frank, I think, in that moment is making a probably correct move if it's anybody but Dan Gheesling that he's talking to, right? Because anybody other than Dan Gheesling can't pick up the pieces the way that Dan was able to do and then turn everything around on Frank immediately. I don't think Kevin and Bruno are capable of picking up Karen and Dylan and Dre anymore. I think that they had Dylan a long time ago and they lost him and they've never been able to get him back. I don't think that they will be able to raise an army. I really do think they are completely dependent on Aika and Dimitri, and it's unfortunate that Aika and Dimitri aren't able to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, their problem is that, you know, from the beginning of this game and moving forward, I mean, their reputation, they're like the two snake oil salesmen in the house. Like, they're just, their word isn't good. Nobody wants to believe anything they have to say, even if what they're saying is logical and in many cases true, because they've just kind of like, you know, perception is reality. And the perception is that Kevin and Bruno are, you know, very shady, very good, very dishonest players. And, you know, it's hard to get around that. Even if Ika is the one person who sees from time to time, maybe this isn't good. Like, they are, it's the house against Kevin and Bruno. Maybe that's not good for us moving forward.
Yeah. I wanted to talk really quickly about the relationship that Ika and Dre have. I wanted to tie it into a storyline that we saw in Survivor. So spoilers from this last episode of Survivor. It's not a spoiler about the boot. It's just a spoiler about a specific storyline. We saw this interesting storyline between Suri and Michaela, and how they were talking about there was this unspoken trust between them because they are two black women, and how cool would it be to see two black women go to the end of the game. Fast forward to this episode or this season of Big Brother Canada. Again, you have two black women, and I feel like that there's an element of Ika, and I could be misreading her here, but it feels like that she doesn't need to question Dre as much, or hasn't needed to question her as much up until now, because of the unspoken trust that they have together as two black women. And I feel like that Dre is using that to her advantage, and, you know, really well. Like, I mean, Dre, nobody has everybody snowed in the house more than Dre right now. And I'm actually stunned to say that. So I wanted to say, do you think that that's an apt comparison, or do you think that I'm just making something out of nothing?
I mean, it's not something that I've seen. Like, I haven't really seen them talk about that aspect of their relationship. I don't think I'm qualified to say whether or not that's a part of it, or it's something that they are considering, or it's something that Dre is using to her advantage. But I guess it wouldn't surprise me. Dre is definitely somebody who is willing to play all angles. I think we've discovered out of nowhere, Dre is probably the best liar in the house.
Yeah, she is.
Even people watching on the feeds can't always tell when she's telling the truth, when she believes what she's saying, or what. And that's really working well for her, because as you mentioned earlier, amazingly, she was not exposed and she was not.
Can we talk about that?
The bus.
Why didn't they? Kevin and Bruno are great players. How could they not expose her? Please tell me why they. Alex, your boy, Kevin. Why did he not expose Dre?
So to quickly set this up. Dre last week was talking about how she wanted Dimitri out of the house, and she let Dylan know. She even let Bruno know.
She let Jackie know.
She told Bruno, "I want Dimitri out of the house." And she is the one that's been going back and forth between Ika and William. There's a lot of miscommunications and lies happening because of her in that situation. There's a ton of stuff. There's a ton of information that William, Kevin, and Bruno all have on Dre that everybody expected Bruno to go to Ika and say, look, Ika, last week, Dre was telling me she wanted to vote Dimitri out before the veto, and it never happened. She was never exposed. There were some of the miscommunication that happened between her and William and Kevin was exposed, and it was and Ika recognized, oh man, Dre isn't as honest as I think she is. But the relationship that Dre has with Ika has really helped, like, get Ika over that fact. Like, even though Ika knows that Dre lied to her a few times, she doesn't really mind. And the real information, the really damning information, has not come out about Dre, and it seems like it's not going to. And I'm not sure why. It seems like maybe Bruno just forgot about it. I don't know. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, that's all I can figure, because at this point, I mean, I don't really have a good answer as to why it hasn't happened.
It's such a monumental piece of information.
The biggest card they have to play is, you know, Trey's dishonesty and the whole thing. And yeah, I mean, that doesn't seem like the angle they're working, or like you said, they just forgot about it. That's all that makes sense.
It's amazing watching her lie, because she was talking with Jackie and she was like, you know, if you tell anybody that I said this, I'm going to deny it. And I'm like, so Jackie's seen that Dre is like this. That must be eye-opening for her to see somebody actually say, like, I'm going to lie, and if you tell people that I'm lying, I'm going to deny it. Like, it's just mind-boggling to me, because 2 weeks ago, I was on this podcast and I was calling Dre an idiot. She was a terrible player. I hated her. I didn't like anything she had. She was a terrible gamer. And I still sort of stand by parts of that, because I feel like the moves she was making at the time were sort of irrational and I didn't like some of them.
But it should have bitten her in the butt. Yes, it really should have.
It really should have. Exactly. But yeah, so for some reason, they've decided not to tell. They've decided not to expose Dre, and Twitter is totally crying out for somebody to expose Dre, because I feel like that even though Big Brother fans say they like all the treachery and the lying and everything, we really don't like it when somebody's lying and they don't get caught. And so, like, I know me watching the feeds, like, the person who I really dislike more than anything right now is Dre. but she's obviously probably the best liar in the house right now, and probably one of the better gamers in the house right now. But I still want her to get caught.
Yeah, and like you talked about, right, Jackie has this conversation. I mean, Jackie has turned completely against Kevin and Bruno in the last few days. She got like a little bit of an inkling in a conversation with Ika and Dimitris that Kevin and Bruno like didn't protect her, didn't do anything to save her in their conversation. And they did kind of throw her under the bus a little bit.
Oh, they totally threw her under the bus.
They but they threw others under the bus everything. As well.
They did.
But she wasn't alone. Like, they tried to push Karen. They had a few people they were pushing. But so Jackie goes up there, and like, honestly, it's still not in Jackie's best interest to like flip and be on the bottom of a group of everyone as opposed to the bottom of a group. I don't know. I mean, she's trying to get off the sinking ship, which is all she's done all game. It's just like piece of driftwood to driftwood.
She's
like
a rat just, floater. She's really, a rat scurrying around.
But yes. Yeah, I mean, and yeah, even in the moment where she came up there and really exposed Bruno and Kevin's like everything about everything they have ever said in the worst possible way to Ika and Dimitris. Even after that, she leaves the room and Ika's just like, you know, I would want to work with Jackie, but she just spills all the tea. And it's like, that wasn't even your tea. Like, that was beneficial information. And Ika still in that moment is just like, God, this girl just cannot keep anything to herself. Like, it's a crazy game she's playing.
There was a lot of misplaying happening there. I think that Kevin and Bruno have done a really good job of campaigning after that happened.
Yeah.
But that was definitely a misstep, I think, to immediately throw Jackie under the bus. Jackie immediately finds out, and then Jackie immediately throws them completely under the bus,
so
which was also a mistake, revealing the name of their alliance, the Peasants, which Ika found incredibly amusing, because I don't know if we've talked about the Peasants on the podcast, but that was the alliance name that Kevin came up with for him, Bruno, and Jackie, because Ika is the queen and she calls everyone else Peasants. And Ika loved it. She was like, oh my God, is Kevin funnier than I think he is? Like, she was really like proud of it.
I have to tell you that I was heartened to see on the feeds that Kevin and Bruno were talking with each other. Number one, they were like, the only people that we could see voting for right now are Ika and Dimitris. And number two, whichever one of them stays, if one of them is ultimately evicted this week, they're telling each other, like, we have to work with Ika and Dimitris at this point. We really don't have a choice. So that leads me to believe that maybe they were going to be loyal to the deal that they were offering Ika and Dimitris. And I feel like they were. Like, if Ika and Dimitris really said, okay, you know what? We're going to save you. We're going to trust you. We're not going to put you on the block. We're going to put two of these middle people on the block, and we're all going to work together. Kevin and Bruno win HOH next week. Do you, Taryn, in your heart of hearts, do you feel like that he at all goes after an Ika Dimitris, or do you feel like he keeps them safe?
I think they keep them safe. I really do think that they were planning on staying true to that deal. They talked about how they really genuinely meant it. And now, even still, like, Ika and Dimitri have kept them on the block, and they're still saying we need to. And right. And that's the thing about people like Kevin and Bruno. I think they're very predictable players. They're going to do what's in their own best interest. So you mm-hmm. can predict ahead of time when they're going to turn on you, because if you can see that it's in their best interest next week to turn on you, they're going to. But it's not in their best interest to turn on them next week. And I don't think it ever will be, because like I said, I don't think they have the capability to pick up people like Dylan and Karen and Jackie anymore.
Exactly.
Totally burn those bridges.
Say. Yeah, those people are not amenable to really ever working with Bruno and Kevin again. And so just by sheer process of elimination, I mean, that means they have to stick with anyone who's even willing to consider them. And that pretty much becomes Ika, Dimitris, and, you know, then
so
William with Kevin, at least.
I have to ask then, are Ika and Dimitris losing the game with these nominations this week? Because not only is Dre their blind spot in terms of who they trust, but Ika does not trust Karen and Dylan, and those are the two people in the house who are most loyal to her and Dimitris, and for some reason, she feels like that they're not. I mean, I saw Karen having a conversation with Dylan when she was like, you know, who do you want out? And Karen was like, I want Bruno and Kevin and Jackie and William. I mean, basically everybody but Ika and Dimitris. And I was like, so why is Ika after you? Like, I guess Karen makes herself so paranoid that Ika feels like Karen's stirring stuff up. But it really is a misread on their part to want to keep Dre safe and at the same time target Karen and Dylan as possible replacement nominees if they needed to replace Kevin and Bruno, because they are pretty loyal from what I can see.
Yeah, Karen's an interesting player because she has really good perception. I mean, really good perception sometimes. Like, Ika and Bruno, you know, will have a conversation and then they'll, like, have another conversation. She's immediately like, what are they? Why does Ika keep talking to Bruno? Like, she picked up on that right away. Dylan, you need to, like, go make sure that Ika's not listening to anything Bruno's saying. Like, she's very observant and very aware of kind of what's going on and who has relationships in the house. But every single time Karen opens her mouth, she does something to make it harder for her to win in the end. Because nobody likes what she has to say. Either she's really paranoid about her own life in the game when there's no reason to be, or she's like passive aggressive to somebody, or there's like some kind of humble brag about something you did that she did the same version of but better. Or like, she's just really kind of got this kind of personality that makes it very hard to see a scenario where she's going to be able to win votes, just because, you know, even though she's very perceptive and she's in a good position, it's just like, you know, Karen is not the kind of person you see winning this game. It's just very hard right now.
It's funny because Karen has like the thing that a lot of the other good players this season lack, which is she has a great read on things. She always has. She's always had a great read on where people stand and what she might need to do. Apart from her hatred of Kevin Martin, she's understood that what she needs to do, or like understood where the house sits. And that's something that Kevin has been really, really bad at. That's something that Bruno has been not great at. It's something that Ika is currently completely snowed about. Dimitri can't see things. Karen is the only person that sees things for what they are. Even now, Karen is the one person that's on to Dre, that knows that Dre is playing both sides. The problem is, can she do anything about it? And the answer is probably no, because Karen doesn't have any relationships with anybody, really, other than Dylan, and Dylan is too attached to Dre. So it's funny because she's like the other half that so many other players are missing. And if she was aligned with one of those players, like if Ika really took Karen in and used her perception of the house, they'd be very, very good together. But it's not happening. So we've got Dre snowing everybody. I have some updates. Some stuff has been going down in the feeds as we've been talking. William had a conversation with Dre and Kevin where Dre was essentially trying to convince William to not use the veto. Kevin eventually was like, yeah, you know, if it's not good for your game, William, you don't have to use it. That's fine. And it seemed like, William might not be using the veto. However, when he was alone, he said, I'm going to save Kevin. I'm going to make him sweat, but I'm going to save Kevin.
Shock of the century. Wow. Good. I never could have predicted that. Yeah. You know, I'm just going to read, I'm going to say the real tea. Like, I just feel like we've seen this other times with some showmances in the house. And I think that there's an element of William that is not thinking with the right head here. I mean, especially if he's just going to save Kevin and not going to save Bruno. It doesn't mean from your standpoint, it doesn't feel like he's making the best game move, especially if his allies are telling him, don't do this. And yet he says, yeah, I'm still going to do it. Has he clarified whether or not he's going to use the regular veto or the secret veto, or that's not clear?
It sounds like he's planning on using the secret veto, but that is not confirmed.
That's probably what production wants, is for him to use the secret veto.
And that's probably what he wants after going through the claustrophobia and everything to get it. He probably feels like, I earned this and I'm going to play it.
Yes, exactly.
Well, yeah, I think he feels like there is some pressure to not use the veto, but he has the secret veto. So, I mean, it's the best of both worlds. He gets to do what he wants and nobody's going to be mad. But I think he's going to really be in for it if he thinks that's going to happen.
I hope he gets evicted next week. I really do. I don't know. I can't stand William. I don't know why. I've been waiting for a gay showmance my entire life in reality television. We finally get one, and I'm not rooting for either of the two people who are involved in it.
Can we go back to Kevin saying that if it's not good for your game, don't use it? What are you doing, dude?
I mean, Kevin! Maybe, I feel like he's Kevin! Sort of... I feel like he's sort of like he's like somebody who's like, well, you know, if you don't want to have sex right now, it's okay. But then like you saying that makes the person like want to have sex with you. Like he's trying to like get William to like want to use the veto. Like he's afraid if he pushes too hard, then he's like, sorry, no pun intended. He's afraid if he pushes too hard, then he won't use it. But if he's like kind of ambivalent about it, like, you know, you just I just want you to do what's best for your game, you know, I really care about you, that kind of, then he's thinking like William will for sure use it, and you know what, he's right.
I feel like I'm watching The Leftovers right now. Kevin Kevin!
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 I feel like Kevin is somebody who operates on a level of like, this is the truth, and he can only deviate so far from the truth. So he, when he feels like if it's not good for William's game, then that's the truth, and he can't avoid that, and he can't pretend that it's not. So he needs to just be like, okay, since it's not good for William's game, I guess my only plan then, since I can't use logic, is to just kind of like guilt him into it and like use my relationship with him instead of trying to twist the logic into why it might work. And just talking about twisting things.
Just a feeds update too. William and Kevin have been kissing on the feeds, which was not really well known in the house. And I think Dre knows about it, and I can't remember who else actually knows about it at this point. But it's getting to like, I mean, like, I know that they like what the Mike Bell called them a showmance like 3 weeks ago, and I think he jumped the gun a little bit on that one, but I definitely would call them a showmance now.
Kevin was also praying to Mike Bell before the
I heard, yeah, I know, right? Didn't quite work though.
Kevin and William got over the top.
All right, so I kind of want to talk about where Jackie stands in all of this.
Oh, do we have to?
Does Jackie ever stand? She just kind of drifts. She's like a ghost.
Pardon me while I go offline for 10 minutes.
She's looking like she's going to be an important piece moving forward, because from what it sounds like, Aika and Dimitri are going to... Dimitri is going to put up Karen on the block as the replacement for Kevin when Kevin comes down instead of Jackie. So Jackie will not even be in any trouble potentially. And so moving forward, where does Jackie go? Aika has been trying to repair the relationship with Jackie, trying to get that moving forward. But is Jackie somebody that will come back to Kevin and William eventually if she feels like that's what she has to do? Or is she completely really burned from them?
If they win HOH, you bet your bottom dollar she's going to be right back in there with them. I mean, come on. Like, yeah, I mean, that's the game that she plays. I'm interested to see, like, if miracle of all miracles, like, Jackie wins HOH next week, I'm curious as to who she would nominate. I mean, I feel like she would probably nominate Aika and Dimitris, but I feel like there's a slim possibility that she may actually not. I mean, I know that Dre's in her ear saying, you know, this is what we should do. We should go after Aika and Dimitris. And I think if Aika ever knew that Dre was actually considered, it's not just Dimitris, because at one point it was just Dimitris. Now it's her and Dimitris. If Aika actually found out that Dre was actually targeting them, I mean, the house would absolutely explode. And I can't believe that Kevin and Bruno are sitting on this card of all cards, and they've apparently forgotten that they have it. It's like, where did we leave that at? I don't know.
Yes. Yeah.
Or maybe think there's no way they can present that information in a believable way. Like,
but she lied about the deal, though. Like, Dre lied. Sorry, she didn't lie. She didn't tell Aika and Dimitris about the deal that they made with Dylan in the HOH competition, that Aika and Dimitris are probably going to be the nominees when they all made the deal with Dylan. Dre never said that to Aika. Okay, so Aika now knows that. So it seems like it's the perfect time to say, oh, and by the way, she was totally in on the plan and really wanted to get rid of Dimitri so that you would be closer to her.
Here's a large part of why I think Aika is so blind to Dre, because there have been a lot of fights happening on the feeds between Aika and Dimitri. Some of it spawned from these videos they got from home, right, where Aika saw her ex, the father of her children, who looked very sad, I guess. And that kind of set her off in terms of, am I doing the right thing here with Dimitri? And they got into a lot of different, really annoying fights. Like, I don't know how Dimitri, can handle that. And Aika is just very hot and cold with him. She slept downstairs, doesn't want to tell him what's wrong, doesn't want to, you know, do any of this. Like, we're making a mistake. No, we're not. I'm super into you, and it scares me. I hate you, and I'm going to hate you forever. It's total insanity. However, Dre is basically the person who is the in-between. She is going to Dimitri and she's talking to him and she's getting, you know, understanding where he's coming from. And then she's going to Aika and saying, Aika, this is how Dimitri feels. And if you're too scared, if you care about him so much and that scares you, that's what you need to go and tell him. And she's brokering these deals and getting Aika and Dimitri back together, getting Aika you know, essentially, you know, wrapped up in this relationship yet again. And they see Dre as the person that they trust and that the person that's bringing them together. And I think that this relationship is really just clouding Aika's head, and it's making her see Dre as a friend instead of as another player in this game. And I think that's why they, because every time Aika says, man, Dre could be lying to me, she goes back to like, Dre would never betray us. She's the best. After they made up because of Dre's intervention, they were like, Dre's amazing. She would never turn on us. She's so great. And I mean, I think that's doing wonders for Dre's game.
Yeah. No, they think Dre is like Will Smith in that movie Hitch, but really he's like Will Smith in that movie Hancock, where he's sleeping with your wife secretly behind your back.
Yeah. See, I'm sure I speak for the audience when I say I haven't seen either one of these two movies. I'm sorry.
I actually haven't either. Don't ask me why I know these plots, though.
So Dre's plan moving forward is she feels like she has Dylan. She feels like Karen is a non-threat. She obviously feels like she has William to some extent, and she wants Bruno out and then to go after probably either Kevin or Aika and Dimitri, depending on what happens with the HOH. She wants to bring Dylan and Karen with her and William to the final four. That's her end game, essentially. How do you feel about this, Brent?
I mean, I feel good about it. I mean, you know, that would be like my let me be clear. I feel good about it from Dre's point of view, that that's a scenario where she could possibly pull out the win. Obviously, I would probably bash my head into the wall if that's actually the final four that ends up coming out of this season, because I really want it to be Kevin and Bruno and Aika and Dimitris. And by the way, I just want to say, like, I think I speak for everybody again. I don't mean to speak for everybody all the time, but like, I was rooting against Kevin and Bruno like coming into this week because I wanted to see them lose and I wanted to see them like be put up. But then, like, it was sort of like a little bit like blue balls where like you got them put up, but now that they're put up, I'm kind of like, I'm waiting so long now for it. Like, I don't really want it anymore. Like, you know, like, I mean, like, I want them off the block now because they've already like been put up and I've already got that satisfaction of it. And I want them off now. I want somebody else up, you know. I'm sure everybody's with me on that.
I'm sure you're a fantastic lover, Brent.
Thank you.
So let's look at now that we know that the POV is going to be used on Kevin, we probably know that Karen is going up in his place. I know Aika and Dimitri have talked about potentially we'd put up Jackie, but it seems like for now they're settled on Karen.
So she needed another reason to hate Kevin.
Right. So, I mean, right now, Karen is probably the only person who sees through Dre and is potentially the only person that could expose her. But if Aika, or I keep thinking Aika's putting her up because it really feels like it's Aika's HOH. If Dimitri puts up Karen, how is that going to affect Karen? Is Dimitri going to be her new Kevin Martin? What do you think, Alex?
I think Kevin is still going to be her Kevin. I just think it's going to be an easy transition to like, William, why'd you save Kevin? You know what I mean? Like that kind of a thing. And then William Kevin. And Kevin and Bruno will be public enemy number one for Kevin. Kevin. Damn it, Kevin. It's all your fault. Kevin.
All right. So if we've got Bruno and Karen up on the block, is it a done deal? Is Bruno gone no matter what, Brent?
I mean, it's probably a done deal, but I know like we could have potentially two votes to save Bruno and Aika. And if obviously Kevin would be off the block, if Kevin can get his sweet babu to save Bruno, then him and Dimitris, they could form that foursome and say, you know, let's ride it out together. But they have to be willing to take this step. Look, let's go back a little bit and we'll stop talking about these initial nominations, but I don't understand. Kevin and Bruno, not only are they making a mistake by not exposing Dre, but they also made a horrible mistake by not having this conversation with Aika and Dimitris before the HOH competition. I don't know why they waited until we got a new HOH. I mean, they were so sure they were going to win HOH. They were like, it's got to be us. We're going to pull it out. You know, push comes to shove, our backs against the wall. And they didn't. And I feel like they're paying for that this week by being nominated. If they had a conversation with Aika Dimitris before and said, look, you know, let's stop going after each other. We promise we won't put you up. I don't know if it would have worked, but I feel like it would have had more weight than it currently does now.
Yeah, it's a good point. They spent hours studying with Jackie for, you know, studying. What did that really help you?
Yeah.
And then ultimately, yeah, I mean, you know, go and have like a 10, 15 minute conversation. Yeah, you're right. Use some of that time in a different way. Don't put all your eggs in that basket. That's a good point.
Yeah. And I mean, basically, I think they just hadn't thought of it. They were looking at things in the same way that Ike and Dimitri were looking at things when they nominated them, which was Ike and Dimitri have done us wrong. We need to go after them and, you know, screw everything else. If they had been thinking in terms of what's best for our game moving forward, and I do think they would have thought of this, even if they had won HOH this week, they would have been thinking in terms of, wait a minute, we shouldn't nominate Ike and Dimitri. But they needed to think of that earlier, and they needed to have this talk with Ike and Dimitri earlier, because I really do think, given how close it came to working and how close it could come to still working if Bruno is on the block next to Karen, then I really think it could have worked. But as I just mentioned, Karen up on the block next to Bruno, it still could work. This still could be something that happens if they can get Ike and Dimitri back on board with this idea of you need to ride with us. And if Karen goes up the block and starts spouting her mouth off, which I think is entirely possible, if Karen just starts railing against Dimitri and Ike, they might start thinking, man, maybe we should take Kevin and Bruno up on their deal. Maybe we should keep Bruno around, yeah. Get rid of Karen, who hates us now. And
but they need another vote.
Well, they
need another
Kevin.
Vote. And I feel like she has to go off. Karen needs to go crazy against Dre, I feel like, for this plan to go through. Like, Karen needs to expose the fact that Dre is a double agent. And then maybe everyone will be mad enough at her to evict her. But I don't know if that will happen.
Well, you know what else is kind of interesting is that in trying to blow up Bruno and Kevin's game, like, Jackie has actually in some ways helped them out, because she succeeded in legitimately selling what they were trying to fake sell last week, which is that she's not really with them. Well, she can't act, but now she's not really with them for real. So she's gone up, and by going up to Ike and Dimitri and blowing them up the way she did, I mean, there's no clearer sign that they are alone in this game now. So the idea of working with them has never looked more appealing.
Yeah. So basically, I think if you're Kevin and Bruno, and, you know, Kevin has just come off the block, Karen is up there, she's spouting her mouth off at Ike and Dimitri, your game plan is, first, we need to get Ike and Dimitri on board. I think that's not necessarily the hardest thing in the world. They came pretty close to it beforehand. And now that Karen is railing against them, I think it's definitely a possibility that they could maybe make that happen. Then they need to get, I think, William or Dre. I think if they get one, they probably get both. And that's a matter of getting Ike to work on Dre, getting Kevin to work on William. I definitely think it's a possibility that they can muster together at least three votes plus the tiebreaker and make this happen. So I don't think Bruno is completely out of this quite yet.
Cool beans. I think it's still a possibility that William could use both vetoes, but I still feel like he's probably going to make what you guys perceive to be the less 100% move and just do it half-ass and pull Kevin off the block but not Bruno, and that's probably going to put him in a bad position going forward.
I don't want to jump in this water. I'd rather just feel my way. I just kind of get a sense for where this temperature is.
Okay, so something else I wanted to bring up. I know, Brent, you listened to Cindy's exit interviews, and I know you had a lot of thoughts about this, so I wanted to know what you were thinking about Cindy and her exit interviews.
Well, I don't know if you guys have listened to see the Cindy's exit interviews, but the thing was that Rob did this exit interview with her, and she said things at different times where she was very much like a beauty contest person, where she was saying a lot of words that sounded interesting, but when you listen to the whole thing together, didn't quite make sense. Like, for instance, one time Rob said, so do you regret the move to get Netta out of the house? And Cindy said, absolutely not. I've been planning this and just looking for the best time. And when Ike suggested Netta, and Kevin and Bruno did not reject the idea, that was me going crazy, by the way. I decided it was a good idea. And she keeps calling it her move, but then in the next breath, she says something to the effect of, you know, no one questioned it because everyone thought the move was Ike. Well, bitch, if everyone thinks the move is Ike's, then it's not by definition your move anymore, is it? And then she went on to say that after Rob pointed out that Arissa compared how you went out in BB3, BB Can 3, you know, where she evicted JP and then was evicted quickly the next week after she was the swing vote. Again, here she made the big move to get Netta out, and she's again the second juror. So Orisa made that comparison, and, you know, how do you feel about that? And Rob said, do you feel like that's accurate? And Cindy says, well, she just compared it in a way like history repeats itself. Yeah, that's what she was trying to say, that history repeats itself and you made the same damn move. Look, I have a hot take for you guys, for real. Like, Cindy, it was like when I was listening to Cindy, it was no longer Cindy anymore. Like, the person that I was listening to when it was Rob talking to Cindy, it was like another beauty contest person who I think you'll recognize.
I personally believe
this is Cindy.
US Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere. Like,
this is Cindy,
and I believe that they should. Our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian country, so we will be able to build up our future.
This is her on the interview. I'm telling you, if you listen to her talking to Rob, she just talks this entire time, and she says things that sort of sound okay, but when you actually, like, look at the sentences and read what she says, it makes no freaking sense. Like, I just wanted to pull my hair out. I couldn't believe Rob actually kept a straight face when he was talking to her. You must listen to this interview. It's actually, like, I was, like, in my car listening to this, like, talking to myself, going, she cannot say this. How could she say this?
So when I put the Iraq on the block or and such as or...
That was our lovely friend, Miss South Carolina from 2007, by the way.
I think there's some serious defense mechanisms happening here where we talked about how bad she must feel knowing that she made the same mistake again. And I think her way of coping with that is saying, no, I didn't make the same mistake again. And given the fact that she didn't think she made the mistake the first time until JP like really explicitly explained it to her, I think it's probably, you know, something that she's used to. And hopefully when she gets to the jury house and talks with Netta, Netta can explain in detail, this is why it was probably a really bad move for you to do that thing.
Damn it, Cindy.
And why you shouldn't have done it. Who knows how Cindy is able to handle
that. It was just so infuriating to listen to her, because Rob was trying to be really nice. He was like, you know, so, you know, Orisa made this comparison. So what, you know, do you think that that's valid or not? You know, absolutely not. But the only thing Orisa was doing was saying that history repeats itself. It doesn't even make sense. Like, if you're saying history repeats itself, then obviously the comparison is valid.
I don't think she necessarily understands the full weight of the phrase.
She's just talking. I could just talk. Like, just say what a few words. I know. Come. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to make a move. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Exactly. She's Miss South Carolina. I'm telling you.
Big moves. Back door.
You're just saying things. You're just saying things, Brent. You know. You can say history repeats itself, but that doesn't mean that doesn't make it true. That doesn't mean that history repeated.
Okay,
and since history didn't repeat, then, you know, I made a move, and the move to make the move. And I, you know, I can only make the moves that I make. And once I do, they're made. So it's like, you know, it is what it is.
It's so funny. Well, I can tell you, listening, I haven't listened to the Miss South Carolina answer in probably like 10 years. And when I was listening to Cindy, I was like, oh my God, it is her. Because like it's the same beauty contest kind of answer where like you're talking and it sort of makes sense, but it doesn't really make sense at all. And no one could ever possibly take it seriously. Yeah. So
just words.
Talk about that. Yeah.
just words.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get a stock watch happening here. Let's see. Cause I mean, even, you know, we talked last week about how there was a lot of shifting happening with Netta leaving the game. I feel like this week there's some more shifting happening. So, let's get into these players. I think we should start with Aika and Dimitri, from last week. Are we up on Aika and Dimitri? Or are we down on Aika and Dimitri? What do you think, Alex?
I guess down. I mean, you know, coming off of Netta going out, they're really like at the top of the hill. I mean, there's really not a lot of other places to go right now. They're still high. They're, you know, in their good position. I mean, no one's putting them up right now, but it could be very soon that they're like really, really coming down. By the way, I think we really need a like some kind of like little just sound drop for the beginning of this segment. That's like a cha-ching.
Oh yeah, we should.
Yeah, we need our soundboard, Taryn. Yeah,
all right. I'll work on that. I agree. I feel like they could be in a decent position. The fact that they won this HOH is pretty big for them, but the fact that they're snowed by Dre and that Dre has essentially got this game by the balls right now, not looking good for him.
She's ready as soon as next week to make the move too. That's the real, I mean, it's like clear and present danger.
I really hope that Dre is the one that has to make the move. Like, I don't want Dre to be able to hide behind anybody else and say like, oh, well, I can't believe Dylan. They put you, you know, I want Dre to win head of household. Like, and say, you know, I have to make the move to put up Ika and Dimitri's, and I want to see Ika's face when it happens. Like, oh my God, I'm here for it. Yeah.
It's funny how at one point in this game, it was like, you know, there was the veterans and there was like a bunch of their pawns. And now it's just like Dre has all the pawns and there's a couple like scattered veterans like fighting for their lives.
They've just evicted too many veterans. That's the problem with this whole season, that they just cannot get it together, can't work on the same page. I think this is the point of no return. If Kevin or Bruno goes home this week, I feel like that we're done. Like, there's no way a veteran's going to win this season. If somehow Kevin and Bruno can both survive, I feel like there is a possibility that one of them could still win.
Yeah.
I'm reading Twitter updates, and Kevin is talking to Ika and Dimitri, and he's saying, you know, after hearing Dre's perspective, he probably shouldn't use the veto on me. It doesn't make sense for him to use the veto.
Kevin!
I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe he thinks that William's going to do it anyway, and he's trying to prove loyalty to them by showing them that he's not worried. I mean, Kevin is a gamer. He has to have a plan here.
It's funny because what he's doing actually is probably the best thing for his and William's game, given that William plans on using the secret veto, but he doesn't really, or maybe
he suspects that, but he doesn't know that. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure the edit will make it look like he suspects that. He don't know nothing.
Yeah,
and I love Kevin, but come on, man. Yeah, it'll be like, you know, something told me that William had a secret. It's just like, so I knew.
I had a gut feeling, and I just felt like I knew it was going to be used on me, so I was just playing it up.
Right? I was cuddling with William, and I felt up his veto.
Yeah, I felt that thing.
All right, so let's do Bruno first, and then we'll do Kevin, because I think we need to start looking at them individually now. Bruno, who looks like he may be going out the door, is he any worse off than he was last week, or is he still at about where he was? What do you think, Brent?
Yeah, he's worse off because he's on the freaking block. I mean, like, at least last week he had an opportunity to make something happen, and he's made a couple of bad plays here. Number one, he didn't have a conversation with Ika and Dimitri's before the HOH competition. Number two, after the HOH competition happened, he hasn't thrown Dre under the block or under the bus, even though he has that card to play. Apparently, has forgotten about it. Like I said, I still have no viable reason that I can tell you guys why a player of Bruno and Kevin's caliber has not exposed Dre. It is seemingly like irrational to me at this point if you're trying to remain in the game. And they don't really have a working relationship with Dre, so it's not like they're trying to save anything there. I mean, they had a working relationship with Jackie, and they totally threw her under the bus. So, you know, they're willing to do anything. Kevin has even said on the feeds that he's willing to throw Bruno under the bus if it ultimately comes down to it. So, I mean, he's done some of that already. Right. Asked you guys like 3 or 4 weeks ago, because someone asked me on Twitter, like, do you think Kevin will be able to cut Bruno when the time comes? I said I didn't think he would. Taryn, you said you thought he would if he knew that he was in desperate shape, and it looks like you're right, because he is willing to cut Bruno here and willing to do anything to make sure that he's safe. Like, he's not gonna let something pitiful like loyalty and friendship get in the way of $100,000 and the title of Big Brother 5 winner. Exactly.
Yes, and right now I think Kevin is doing a lot of good work. Bruno has been not doing a whole lot of work since the veto competition. He did a lot of great work that almost got him safe before the nominations and before the veto competition happened. It looked like Ika might use the veto on him if she won, which was great work by Bruno. Since then, he's been laying back, and it's given an opportunity for Kevin to swoop in there, and he has changed Ika and Dimitri's mind about whether they'd prefer Kevin or Bruno to go. They now prefer Kevin. I don't know if he's just playing it safe, thinking, okay, if William's going to save Kevin anyway, then I just need to wait until the replacement nominee happens, and then I can start campaigning. I don't know what he's thinking, but right now it really does look like he's really just taking a step back, and his fate is up in the air at the moment. So things not looking great for Bruno.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest difference between like his standing in the game last week versus this week, because obviously it was bad last week too. I mean, you know, they've been on the outs now a couple of weeks. But yeah, the biggest factor, I think Ike and Dimitri's weren't seeing a scenario where they wanted Bruno to go before Kevin at all. And now it's something they're kind of wavering on a bit this weekend, where, you know, that's much worse for Bruno's game. It seemed like Kevin was going to go before him to me from a lot of perspectives, really because of that relationship with William. But the more people thought about it, the more they realized, like, you know, Karen really hates Kevin. And like, there's some people who we know would never work with Kevin in this game. But like, could we see Bruno possibly getting back with Karen or with Jackie? Like, it's much more it's much easier to see Bruno pulling that off than Kevin. Bruno just has this way. He has a much better social game than Kevin. I mean, Kevin is perceptive, and Kevin has a good way with words when he's trying to outline a scenario and really trying to get something done. But I mean, Bruno is a much better social player, and I think they recognize that. So that's really what's come to take Bruno kind of even lower this week.
Yes. And so moving on to Kevin, I do feel like he has actually done really well this week. I feel like not only was he a good addition to Bruno, a good sidekick to Bruno in terms of their pitch before the nominations happened, but as I mentioned, he has gone up to Ike and Dimitri, and he has convinced them that he is the better choice to keep. And that's not something that they were thinking beforehand. He made very good points without throwing Bruno under the bus that, hey, Bruno has more connections than I do with these people. He's better connected with Dylan. He's better connected with Jackie, and obviously better connected with Karen. And even though he has William, that's sort of being overlooked at the moment. And in terms of, you know, Bruno is probably the bigger threat. He even got them, without saying it outright, to think, yeah, Bruno would be more vengeful. Bruno would come after us sooner than Kevin would, which I think is absolutely false. I think that Kevin would 100% go after Ike and Dimitri before Bruno would, because William, and this is something that we haven't touched on yet, but when Kevin was talking to William about using the veto, William was like, wait, so you wouldn't go after Ike and Dimitri? Are you sure? Because I don't know. And Kevin was like, would you want me to? And they never really finished that conversation. So I wouldn't be completely sold that Kevin will stay true to this if William wants to take a shot. Whereas I think Bruno has no other options. I think those relationships are being overplayed with the other side, and he would stick with Ike and Dimitri if he stayed. So kudos to Kevin for doing this. I think I'm going to be buying some Kevin stock. I think when he survives this week, which it looks like he absolutely will, I think William's going to be taking some heat for using that veto on him. I think that he has some other options in terms of moving forward now that Bruno is not attached to him anymore. I think it's not a whole lot that I'm buying Kevin stock, but I think it's up from last week. What do you think, Brent?
I mean, I would agree with that. I'm still not convinced that Kevin wouldn't keep Ike and Dimitri safe. Regardless, I keep saying irregardless. That's not a word, Brent. Come on. Regardless of what Ike and regardless of what William wants, because, you know, by then the veto will already have been used. He'll already have been safe. And if Kevin gets power next week, in no universe do I see him going after Ike and Dimitri. So I really don't. I don't care what William says. And I mean, Kevin's his own man. You know, he's been clear about it from the beginning. He's using William for what he's good for, and what he was good for this week was a veto, and he may not be good for much next week. I know he'll want to keep that relationship intact, especially if he does ultimately lose Bruno, but I mean, where's William going? I mean, you know, William is whipped on Kevin Martin. Let's be clear about this, okay? He's whipped on the boy, and I'm not saying if I was in the house, I wouldn't be whipped on Kevin Martin as well, because I've said some things on Twitter before, said some things on Reddit before about Kevin. Kevin Martin is a very good looking guy. I just think that he'll be able to ultimately get William to do whatever he wants, and I kind of think that he knows it.
I think he's genuine when he tells William that once Bruno is gone, you are my number one. I'm going to be loyal to you to the end. I really think, I mean, again, as far as Kevin is loyal to anyone, because I think he's willing to cut anybody,
right?
I think William will be his number one, and he will work together with William in the same way that he tried to work with Bruno to get the both of them as far as possible. And I also think that he feels probably that William is a great person to sit next to in the end. So I think he's also willing to take him all the way down if he can.
If we get that, I hope William really throws him under the bus, though. I mean, he probably won't, but, you know, I saved you in this game, Kevin, you little bitch. Like, you did nothing without me. You would be gone so early. That would be fantastic. I mean, really kudos to Kevin for, you know, like you said, basically what he's done is scared Ike and Dimitri's more about the hypothetical relationships Bruno might one day have than the real tangible relationship he has right now. I mean, Bruno, as it stands right now, his only inroad to numbers is through Ike and Dimitri's. Kevin has another outlet, and kudos to Kevin for convincing them that he's still somehow safer.
So I do have a question now. Like, so when this secret veto is used on Kevin, are people going to, I mean, I know Karen saw William coming out of that tunnel, so that I think that's definitely going to cast aspersions onto William. But Kevin is so shady. People are so ready to believe that Kevin is the one that screwed them over. Are people going to think, wow, Kevin, you had the secret veto the whole time. That's why you told us that you were fine with William not using it on you. Are people going to suspect Kevin, even though there's some evidence to point toward Will? What do you think?
Here's what I think is going to happen, right? So Karen's going to know it's William, and Karen's going to say it was William, but Karen is going to still blame Kevin. Like, what do you think Kevin did for William? Like, I bet Kevin touched his penis. Like, what do you think Kevin did to get him to use that veto? Because we've already heard conversations where Karen and, like, Emily, I believe, a couple times, like, I think it's disgusting that Kevin is using that sweet William boy, you know, where it's like, it's very much mutual. Like, if anyone's using anyone, they're using each other pretty equally, I think, in this game. And they're also enjoying each other's company. So it's not exclusively use,
right?
I guess. But yeah, I mean, no, I think that's the most likely outcome. It's like Karen finding a way to justify what's already there in her head, which is like, this scumbag Kevin, what did Kevin. You do to that sweet boy to convince him to do this horrible thing? What could have William would never, you know, just like I could really see that.
As soon as Kevin comes up the block, she's like, Kevin. All right. So let's move on to William in the stock watch from last week. Are we up on William? Are we down on William? What do you think, Alex?
I guess down on William just because like we were talking about. I mean, the way this has played out, regardless of what he does now, he's said a couple things that have gotten around the house that have really hurt his perception. The biggest one, as you mentioned, was, you know what? I don't care what people think. I'm going to do what I want to do. And, you know, that in and of its thing is something in and of itself is something that we hear people say. You know, I mean, Gary used to say that stuff like that all the time. Like, I'm done. I'm working with other people. Like, but it's all context, you know, and it's all perception. And people are looking for any reason to, you know, out somebody else for being a target right now, because there's, again, like, lines just shifted a week or two ago. People are still kind of really trying to figure out who's an easy person they can put in front of themselves. And when William says something like that and it gets out and Dre shares it and it spreads around the house, it's just a very easy reason to be like, oh, well, what the hell? Like, are we working together or aren't we? You don't care if your allies are upset when you do a thing. Like, what kind of friend is that? But this is Dylan, by the way. That's exactly how Dylan reacted. but other people shared that sentiment. They just weren't as obnoxiously bro-y about it.
Yeah, I think I'm also down on William here. I feel like, especially, you know, using it on Kevin, using the one veto on Kevin, I feel like, I think that's the worst of the three options he has here, or four options, I guess. And I really think it's going to put a target on his back. I think people, I think people are going to blame Kevin for it. And he's not going to get quite as much heat as people are saying he might. But I still think, you know, he's going to go right up on the block next to Kevin. If anybody, you know, wins who wants to put Kevin on the block, I think it puts him in a much worse position moving forward. So, I was really high on his position last time. I feel like he was in a great spot to just kind of coast down to the end. But this position he's put himself in, I think he's making the wrong choice here. I'm not super high on it anymore.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think 3 for 3, we're all agreeing that William's going to be on the down slope here as far as the stockwatch goes, because there's really no way he can come out of this week and be in a better position than he was going into this week. Because, you know, if Bruno ultimately does go home, I don't think that William's in a better position, most likely, unless you go with my original theory, which is that by evicting Bruno, that he becomes Kevin's new number one. But as you correctly pointed out, if he does go on, if Bruno does go home and somebody else gets power and wants to target Kevin, William's going to go right on the block next to him and ultimately could be evicted if Kevin wins the veto. So I can't imagine that's necessarily a better position.
And at this point, he may already be Kevin's number one. You know, I don't know that Kevin, you know, I don't know that Kevin would chance it in a final two against Bruno, even though they're kind of ride or die. If they get to three with William, I think Kevin's looking at William at that point.
I think definitely William's
he's an opportunist, that Kevin.
Bruno is 1A.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So what about Dre? Where do we feel Dre is sitting right now? I feel like she's definitely, I think, moved up in terms of her positioning, but can she maintain it? What do you think, Brent?
I mean, the problem is I see no evidence to think that she hasn't. I mean, the only thing that we have is that Ika being aware that Dre didn't expose the deal that they made in the previous HOH competition. That's the only flaw, the only chink in her armor thus far. Everyone else just seems so willing to believe. And you know what? Dre's such a nice person, and she doesn't seem like she's very good at lying. She seems like a generally honest person, that you just don't really entertain the thought that she's totally effing playing you. Like, she really, really is bald-faced lying to you. And I think that it's sort of an attack on your own self-worth. Like, if you realize, I mean, in order to confront the fact that Dre is lying, you have to face the fact that you've been had. You have to face the fact that you're not as good of a player or of a read of a person as you thought you were. And I think a lot of people aren't willing to confront that. So by... I feel like because of that, Dre is going to continue to rise in this game because people don't want to admit to themselves that they've been wrong about Dre all this time.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I feel like she is in the best position right now, but with her past performance, I do think, like, I feel like she might just make a huge blunder. It's almost like where yeah. Cindy was in such a great spot, but we were like, but just wait until she Cindy's
and
herself.
And Gary was in such a good spot. We were singing right. this. Gary was going to be final three, and then he didn't even make the jury. Yeah.
Well, it is. It's like, yeah, like all these big players went out. I mean, Dallas, Cass, Gary, Netta, Cindy, they all just go out, and like the seas just parted like Moses for Dre. Like, she's just able to walk into this big void that was left by all these huge, huge personalities and players going out. And yeah, so she does find herself in a great position right now, surrounded by a lot of people that aren't necessarily either A, paying attention to her well enough to recognize the way she's playing, or B, are just not, you know, sharp enough to recognize it. And so as a result, yeah, she really is in a good spot now. You know, I mean, her path to the end, she sees it and it's there and we see it. And it's, you know, the visions match up and they seem to make sense to me in a lot of ways. Dre, and I don't know if this is a fair comparison or not, but it kind of reminds me of Paul in Big Brother 18, where it's like, you know, some people are asking in the chat room, like, did Dre just, you know, pretend to be an idiot? And then, like, you know, was she doing like what Rob said, where she just, like, you know, slept the first month? And I'm like, Dre didn't know this game. Like, she came in as a recruit. Like, she wasn't a big fan.
Right.
She's doing what people do sometimes in Big Brother, which is after a month plus in the house, you start to learn what the hell game you're playing. You know what I mean? Like, the learning curve has come and gone. And now she's in a position where, like, she's not that far below the people that had a season of experience ahead of her. She's learned kind of what works and what doesn't. She's seen what was the downfall of five or six or seven people now. And once, you know, it doesn't matter how bad someone is at this game to a degree, if they have a willingness to win and a competitive, you know, edge and a, you know, a level of perception and a capability to lie, I mean, they can absolutely just, like, really steadily improve as the game goes on. We've definitely seen it before.
All right, so let's move on to Karen. Where do we think Karen stands? For me, I feel like I'm probably selling a bit on Karen.
Yeah.
And not necessarily because of her positioning. certainly, she's in a little bit of danger this week, being the potential replacement nominee, but also because of that goodbye message she left for Cindy, where she really just went at her and then said, you know, say hi to Netta for me in the jury. I don't know how well that's going to play, and I don't know if Karen has any chance of winning in the end now. Especially if that's going to be her attitude continuing that attitude moving forward. What do you think, Brent?
I don't know. I feel like she was just having a little bit of fun with that goodbye message. I still think that Karen could win in the end. I feel like, you know, there's never been an older person who has won Big Brother candidate. I'm quickly going off to all the people, even though there's only four of them. I'm like, okay. And you know, I mean, it's just not something you see all the time as an older person like Karen winning a reality show. If she actually made it to the final two, she'd be a really compelling final two person, I feel like. And, you know, if she got to somebody like Dylan or William, like, I always feel like they're going to vote for Karen over her, even if she, I mean, maybe Cindy won't. Maybe Cindy's going to be a bitch about it and be a bitter juror. But I feel like that the other people on the jury would probably be willing to give her props for the game that she's played. And then the fact that at 52, 53 years old, she's still a pretty awesome competitor.
She did also say in that goodbye message, like, bye, Cindy. It was great getting to know you for the first day until I realized all you do is talk about yourself. And it's like, wow, that's harsh.
Yeah.
Especially if coming from Karen, who does quite a bit of self-talk herself. I mean, Karen likes to talk about Karen. Like, that's, you know, that's the problem with Karen, is like, she'll throw out things at people and like say like, you really do this. And it's like, Karen, like literally every human does that. Like, it's just very hypocritical to right. say like, you're a person who does a thing that everyone ever does. Like, and that's who Karen is. She's that person. And yeah, you look at the jury now and it's like Netta, Cindy, Kevin. I mean, like, she's really, she's going to have to work hard at the votes that are left, because she's X-ing some out in big red pen. I think that's her problem.
It really reminded me of the Yvette goodbye message that, you know, potentially cost her for her a win. It's just like, it's so, the goodbye message is something where you don't need to do anything but be nice, because it don't be overly fake, but like, there's no you know, upside to being really mean in the goodbye message.
Yeah,
there's
you already
no
took their
to
life in the game, so it's like you killed them, yeah. And now you're like kicking the body. Like, that's just desecration, dude. You don't need to do that.
All right, moving on to Dylan. Where do we think Dylan stands? I feel like, right? He has completely sort of vanished from the foreground. This is no longer his HOH week. He's no longer really attached to anybody but Karen and Dre. Where do you think he stands? Are you up or down on Dylan, Alex?
I mean, neutral, I guess. Like, I don't necessarily see him going home anytime soon, but I don't see him winning, and I haven't seen him winning for a while, so it's not like he had a place to go, really. Like, he was kind of really there's not much there for me, and there's still not much there. I just think the problem with Dylan is that he's like completely closed off to working with half the house. Like, he is only going to work with certain people. He's not going to be amenable to ideas. He's gonna, you know, his game is gonna play its course eventually. And if somehow that results in him winning a couple competitions at the end and getting a final two, it still won't result in a win, because he won't have played the kind of game, especially socially, that you need to play to have the respect of the jurors. Nobody knows anything about Dylan except he's big and obnoxious and really, really has like an ability to hold a grudge.
Yeah. I think last time we talked about how Dylan made a move as HOH that did wonders for him in terms of getting to the end, but not wonders for him in terms of winning the game. I feel like he's still essentially in that same position. I think he hasn't really moved. Are you in agreement, Brent?
Yeah, I agree. I would hold Dylan at this point. I don't think he's moved up or down. I think he's probably going to go to final four easy, maybe even as far as final two, but I really don't see the votes for him to win against anybody in the house currently.
Yes. And so finally, we've got Jackie. Jackie, who was with Kevin and Bruno last week, but as we mentioned, completely burned that bridge, at least for the moment.
Burned down that peasant's cottage.
Yes, and is as I said, kind of working on the relationship with Aika. Aika feels like if they don't put Jackie up on the block, then Jackie's going to remember that. I feel like she keeps thinking that over and over. I don't know why she keeps thinking that she can win favor with Jackie. I don't think it's possible. I think Jackie does whatever Jackie feels like is in her own best interest. But has she moved at all, up or down? What do you think, Brent?
I think she's moved up. I still don't think that there's any way that she could get five votes at the end, unless it's against Dylan. And then it's probably going to be Dylan, but hell if I know. I just don't think there's a great possibility that she's always going to be put up as a nominee. I think it would take a really special sort of Nikki from Big Brother 4-esque circumstance for her to be evicted, because I don't really think it's anybody's best interest to evict Jackie at this point. Maybe Aika, if Aika somehow gets power and wants to target her and doesn't feel like keeping her around anymore, and somebody's partner is up on the block, like if it's, you know, somehow you get down to the numbers and William's up on the block and Dre has to cast the vote. I mean, she's probably going to evict Jackie there against William, but you know, other than that, I still don't see a way that she can win, but I do feel like she's probably in a better position. She was in danger of possibly being put up as a nominee this week. So the fact that she's going to avoid that entirely means she's on the upswing.
Yeah, I saw this situation where there's two vetoes in play, Kevin and Bruno working some magic to potentially not be targets from Aika and Dimitri. I thought, man, this is the week where something wonky can happen and Jackie might be in danger, but she actually managed to avoid that. And it's not entirely her own doing, for sure, but I think the relationship she's made with Aika and the relationship that Aika is trying to make with her is, again, it's keeping her off of the block and putting Karen on the block when Karen should not be on the block. Karen is much more loyal to Aika and Dimitri than Jackie is, and yet Jackie is continuing to not be on the block and not be a target. And I think that's probably just going to continue to happen moving forward in the game. And I've mentioned it before, but I do think she has winner upside that people aren't really noticing. So just keep that in mind. I am, in fact, probably a little bit even higher than I was on her from the previous week. I will be buying some Jackie. What do you think, Alex?
No, I agree. I think I see a path to her getting votes to win against Karen or Dylan. And I think those are two people that could possibly be there with Jackie at the end if the game keeps going the way it looks like it's continuing to play out. I mean, if things go unless there's another shift. Jackie, she's interesting because I don't necessarily think she's a particularly great player. Like she's learning just like everybody else is kind of like getting gradually better as they see what works and what doesn't and go through the course of the weeks and have more time to play the game. But her arc has just been so fascinating to me and so interesting to watch, where literally everyone she tries to work with goes. I mean, to me, it's like there's been some players this season who have really just been like shaking the snow globe of the house. And Jackie is just inside the globe holding onto a tree, just like trying not to lose it. Like that has been her game. But somehow she's still clinging in there, like she's just gripping that thing and won't let go. And it's working for her because she's just so... you know, perception wise, it's just who's worried about her right now. She's so alone. Every time she like thinks she has something, someone goes home. You know, she found out Bruno and Kevin, you know, turned on her to every damn time. Like she's just so over this. Like it's every single week where whoever Jackie tries to work with, it's like one step forward and two steps back with her every time. So it would be an interesting arc to see her come that far, but I'm already just enjoying like this repeated story of Jackie just like, you know, stepping on the rake over and over again, metaphorically.
So I'm seeing some updates on the feeds. Ike just said to William, "I will keep your little peasant boy safe if you don't use the veto. If you use the veto, I will kill you in your sleep." I don't know how well it's going to work with William, but we'll see.
It's not going to work.
Still some possibility that he might not use any vetoes, but I think this is not the tact to use with William. I think he doesn't like being told what to do. He wants to, you know, feel like he's doing what he wants to do.
What's that good French Canadian exclamation that Justin Timberlake uses in The Love Guru? Tabernacle. That's it. Tabernacle. That's what you say to that.
Okay.
I don't know what it means, but I know it's like an exclamation.
All right. Let's take some questions.
French Canadian lesson of the day.
We've got one from Jason Whiting. If William saves Kevin and Bruno is evicted, what should Kevin's next play be? What do you think, Alex?
I mean, he's got to work with the cards that are there. I mean, that's the problem. It's like half the house is closed off to him right now because there's just people who aren't amenable to the idea. So, you know, I mean, you can't ignore those people. Like, I mean, I guess you can ignore Karen, but you can't ignore Jackie. I mean, you should still try to like make inroads with some of those people. But really, I mean, you know, Ike and Dimitri, that's who you need to be trying to work with. Obviously, you know, keeping William close going forward is going to be valuable because now, you know, like you talked about, there's a potential scenario where people could see William as, you know, possibly even a target over Kevin if, you know, it was sold right, where that was never the case before. So, right. Yeah, I mean, definitely he's got to continue to, you know, ride his, you know, his veto mule or whatever you want to call it. And yeah, work with the people that are amenable to working with him, because that's really the only options he has.
Yeah, I think he needs to try to move forward with this group of Ika, Dimitri, Dre, and William, and hope that one of them wins HOH, because I think if that does happen, or not Dre, actually, because obviously Dre is going to turn her back on them immediately, but hope that one of those people, like Ika or William or himself, win HOH, and then he can target people like Karen and Dylan. If Karen and Dylan... or Jackie or one of them wins HOH, he needs to try and make sure it's either William over him or Ike and Dimitri over him and William. He's still got a long way to go before he has like a real path to the end, but surviving definitely puts him in a better spot than he was in the previous week. Do you have any thoughts, Brent?
No, I'm good.
All right. From Josh Spence, what are your thoughts on family members shouting out to other house guests in their video messages. So to set this up a little bit with the house guests, as I mentioned previously, they saw some video messages from home. This is what set Aika off in terms of seeing her ex in the video message. In Dylan's video message, his family apparently said something about Karen, which really turned people off, like, oh man, that just told Dylan that he can trust Karen. This is very sketchy. Do you have any thoughts about this, Brent?
Yeah, of course. It's again, it just goes back to the sort of gray area nature of the game where we talked about with Rob, how, you know, people in the audience shouting out during, you know, Netta's eviction speech obviously impacts the game, and there was never a chance for for her to be believed, even if she was telling the truth there, which actually she ended up telling the truth there, but because it was going to be completely disowned by the audience once they started booing against her. So this is, again, more information from the outside world. I don't understand why they can't edit this if they hear something like this. I mean, if I was somebody on the production staff and I heard another house guest's family member say something about another house guest, no matter how inconsequential, I would probably edit it out. So I'm sure they have an ability to do that. They've chosen not to, and why is beyond me.
Yeah, this is something we probably should have talked about sooner. This was a really big deal, I think, because, you know, you talked about it. It really doesn't make a lot of sense for them to put Karen on the block ahead of Jackie. This is a big part of why. I mean, this idea that in the video message, they kept coming back to it. There was something said where, you know, yeah, like Dylan and Karen, like this, you know, this connection. Jackie doesn't have anything like this. And this was like something that kept coming up in conversation where, you know, I mean, yeah, anytime anything from outside of the house is repeatedly mentioned in a conversation inside the house as like a reason to target or like a reason to be worried about someone, it is a little frustrating, but you understand it. I mean, anything they could possibly get, they're going to try to latch onto. They're just, I'm desperate for information or anything they can use in there. Anything that's concrete, especially because everything you have is like secondhand, he said, she said nonsense in the Big Brother house. So to have something like that is really tangible, is, yeah, potentially problematic. It reminds me of, whatever it was, I forget exactly what it was, but something with Johnny Mac's video where his brother said something. And then it really put like a massive target on his back for that week that wasn't there before,
right,
based on the family video. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a little unfortunate that if they're going to do that stuff, they can't find a way to edit it so that nothing is particularly revealing or, you know, will have any kind of lasting implications on the game itself.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not as bad as having actual family members in the house and having like conversations out. I mean, that from last season was really terrible. But certainly you'd think, just edit out any mention of other house guests. We don't need that in the family messages. It seems like it would be simple, but, you know.
Right, I think this is where Rob would tell us that we're just yelling into our own microphone to hear ourselves talk.
This isn't Rob's show, damn it. This is our place, you know, to do that.
It's, you know, like I said, I think it's a step forward in terms of where they used to be. But it's, I think, you know, we're expressing our opinion about, you know, the state of how it still is. So moving on to another decision.
And, you know, I'm being honest because it's
at
Karen's expense, and I'm not the, I'm admittedly not the biggest Karen fan. So, you know, it's real.
From John Densford, he asks, does the fact that the secret veto has to stay a secret kind of hurt Williams' game? It's so much more interesting as a leverage tool. And I want to like make this a little bit more broad, too, in terms of what do you guys think about the rules of the secret veto? And do you think this was a good twist at all? What do you think, Brent?
They got so freaking lucky that William won the regular veto here, because if he didn't win the regular veto, I don't think he was ever going to use the secret veto. I guess they just didn't look. I think the thing is that they just don't want a repeat of what they've done before, because the only thing that's different about this veto, other than the one that Allison had in Big Brother 2, is the fact that it's secret and it doesn't keep the person safe. I mean, I think it's sort of like an A and B kind of thing. Like, I think it's secret, and because it's secret, it doesn't keep the person safe. But it just seems like they're throwing stuff against the wall. Why can't they just have the same veto that Allison had in Big Brother 2? Like, it was dramatic enough. You can use it during a ceremony, put it around somebody's neck, and production can get what they want. It's been 3 years since then. Again, I don't understand why they can't just repeat the same thing. The fact that William won the veto is so lucky for him, because now it's so much more likely that he's actually going to use the secret power and they're going to get their moment that they want. And you know that the diary room is pushing for him to use the secret veto rather than the regular veto, even though I think probably on balance, it's better for him to use the regular veto rather than the secret veto.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is another situation, sort of like the backwards week, where it didn't seem entirely thought through in terms of it really took some really interesting circumstances in order to make this secret thing happen.
And they just posted the rules like yesterday.
Yeah. The fact that it doesn't keep you safe from being renommed is who would ever use that if
illogical.
They're not safe?
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that everybody would then know that, you know, whoever used it knowing that they weren't safe means that it has to be somebody that's either incredibly close to the person that was taken off or the person that was taken off. So it really narrows the options in terms of the secrecy. So
we thought this through. This was well planned.
it doesn't really work in the way that I think maybe they wanted it to. But again, sort of like the backwards week, I'm kind of fine with that because it has less impact on the game. And I'm really enjoying the game without these twists interfering. So I think we're still seeing a fairly clean game happen despite this twist because the impact is kind of minimal.
Keep saying that, Terry. Big Brother keeps... they're going to hear you keep saying they're going to like, man, we've got to find a twist to screw over Saren guy. Come on. Like, come on, guys. Think of something here.
Get ready for chance time. The night of eviction. You two nominees come off. We spin the wheel to see who goes up. Here we go.
Chance time. Oh, my gosh. You're right. We did do that. We did that for the HOH. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, we spun the roulette wheel for HOH.
This would be worse.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Side note, Taryn, you say leverage. You always struck me as the kind of person who would say leverage.
What?
Yeah.
Why would I say leverage?
I don't know.
Who says leverage?
Smart people.
Yeah, like I've never heard of leverage. Like I've heard of like presentation and presentation, but never leverage and leverage. Alex, you're off on your own island in the Pacific on that one.
Maybe it's just a British thing about applying appropriate leverage. Situation.
Maybe it's a British
thing.
I can kind of see that.
It's a thing, Taryn.
Yeah, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you thought the same as Alex that I was the kind of person that would say leverage, let us know. Hashtag leverage is, I guess, what we should do for the end of the podcast.
That's good. Although I was also thinking Cindy with a such as would be really fun.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, we'll get to that later. There's a couple more questions we got to get through. From Nikki on Twitter, everybody seems to see Aika as the co-HOH this week, including myself, as I referenced her as the HOH multiple times throughout the podcast. If Dimitri makes it to the final two, will him being seen as Ike's puppet be a big problem for him? What do you think, Alex?
Potentially. I mean, really depends on who he's there with, because he's won so many comps. So he's got a resume that stands apart from her. But if he's there with Aika, like, yeah, he's got no shot. I mean, he's really played her game. Like you said, you've even said it's Aika's HOH multiple times. I mean, for all intents and purposes, I always say intensive purposes, and I know that's wrong. For all intents and purposes, was her HOH. Yeah, I know. Semantics. I'm stuck on him today, I guess. I don't know.
Interesting enough, though, I think if this was Aika's HOH, Bruno and Kevin would not be nominated. I think that she was fully turned at the point of the nomination ceremony. It was Dimitri that was being held back. So even though it is basically looked at as Aika's HOH, I think we would have had a different outcome if she was the actual HOH.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. But on the other hand, she really wasn't pushing that far with Dimitri's as far as the nominees go. I mean, they had a conversation right before the nomination. Right before the feeds went down, and he was like, you know, Bruno and Kevin. She's like, sure. I mean,
well, she said, you do what you have to do. She
was too torn on this, like, one. Yeah, you make the call. Yeah,
very, very much in Ica's like style. Like, you know, you're gonna do what you have to do.
Right. But only after she's exerted like 3 hours of full control, and then she's like, okay, I don't care at all. Like, whoa, where was the middle ground?
Right. And it should be pointed out that I think it was that night that she slept downstairs. Which,
Well, I don't know what to think. In answer to the poor kid's aging, like 30 years in this house.
In answer to the question, I really don't think Dimitri has anything to worry about. If he gets to the final two, I see him winning. I could see him even winning against Aika because he's just so likable and he's won so many comps. I mean, he's won 3 HOHs and a veto, and we still have half the game to go. I mean, if he actually got there, you have to think he'd won at least 2 more. So, I mean, there's no way he can be beat, I don't think.
I think Aika can probably beat him, given the way that that Kevin and Bruno are talking about Aika. They've said that they would vote for Dimitri and Aika. They've talked a lot about their jury votes, and they really respect Aika and Dimitri's game. But I think they see Aika as, again, like as the queen. And I think they would, the vet connection as well, I think would help her. I think she'd have basically all of the vets. I think even Netta, I think, would vote for Aika.
Dimitri should have to get all the newbies.
He would have to sweep the new players, which I'm not sure that he's capable of doing. So it would definitely be an interesting matchup in terms of where the votes go. But, all right. So do you guys have any other final thoughts that you want to get out before we wrap this up?
I think we're good.
Use them both. Use them, William. Do it. I'm willing you to do it from all the way in California. Do it.
I've come around on Bruno and Kevin. Now that I've seen them in hot water, I'm like, okay, I'm back on their side now. So yeah, they were just getting a little too cocky there for me. I need TV too. Yeah, it would be fun to see the veto, both of the vetoes be used and see the house go totally crazy.
Yeah, just flipping out vetoes, a one for you and one for you. I rules this game. That would be fantastic.
One quick tidbit before we leave. I'm seeing Bruno is talking to Karen right now, and he's saying, can this stay between me and you? Do not trust Dre. If I go home, I want you to know not to trust Dre. So.
Where the hell was that?
Yeah. Right?
Oh, Bruno, you're killing me. God.
Oh, man. Yeah. All right. So
is cold.
let's do hashtag Cindy with, what was it?
Cindy with such ass.
I love that.
Or like such as.
Yes. I believe Alex and I will be on with Rob tomorrow night to talk about the Monday night episode. We will be breaking down the HOH competition and the nominations and everything that goes on there. And we'll probably be able to see, talk about what happened with the veto ceremony in the feed section of that show. We've also got, don't forget, live show in Toronto, May 11th. It's going to be awesome. Make sure you get your tickets. If you're missing out, then you're dead to me. I don't want you to listen anymore. Lita and I will be podcasting about Team Ninja Warrior very soon. So keep an eye out for that if you're interested at all. It's a very fun show. I really recommend it. You don't have to have watched any of the other things at all to just check it out. It's just like two people racing against each other in obstacle courses. It's a lot of fun. All right, Brent, I know there's some RuPaul stuff happening.
Yeah, we recorded an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, me, Liana, and Mike Bloom right before this podcast. That's why RuPaul's Drag Race came out of my mouth during this podcast, because I was in that. I was thinking about RuPaul's Drag Race so much. Very, very fun episode. I was gagging at the ending, so it's a very fun podcast that we did, so make sure to check it out. It'll be on the feed later on tonight, and you can sign up for that by following the Reality TV Wrap-Ups RuPaul's Drag Race feed, and it'll come up in your feed naturally.
All right, so... For Brent and Alex, I am Taryn Armstrong. Hashtag Cindy with a such as. We will see you next time.